Welcome to the Entrepreneurial MD's weekly podcast. This today is an interview in our series, Insights from the Professionals, in which I interview guests who are experts in different areas of business and whose knowledge and insights are truly valuable for our physician entrepreneur listeners. And today I have with me as my guest, Rosalie Hamilton. And Rosalie, before we jump into the questions, I'm going to just tell the audience a little bit about you.
Okay.
Rosalie Hamilton is an expert witness marketing consultant and the leading authority on expert witness marketing. As the founder of Expert Communications, Rosalie provides customized marketing plans, consulting, and coaching to individual experts and firms. So what this means for our audience is that she helps physicians, amongst other professionals, develop highly profitable main or sideline businesses providing medical expert witness services. She spent more than 20 years in marketing, management, sales, training, and publishing, and is the author of a book, The Expert Witness Marketing Book, which is considered to be the seminal publication in the field. And Rosalie is a prolific writer, contributing to expert witness directories, newsletters, and newspapers, and professional journals all on this subject, and is also a popular speaker at conferences for a wide variety of organizations. So, that's a big bio, Rosalie. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I was really intrigued when I discovered the work you do, because it's clear to me that you offer a service that is very supportive of physician business development for those physicians who've decided that they want to bring in some extra income, or, well, I'll check with you as to what their motivations are, but an opportunity for physicians to do something entrepreneurial, which is always my interest. So let me ask you first, how do you define an expert witness so that we can be clear on what we're talking about today?
Okay. The law defines an expert witness as a person who, through their education or experience, has developed skill or knowledge in a particular subject so that he or she can form an opinion that will assist the fact finder. And that term means the judge or the jury or both. And then Black's Law Dictionary, which is the Bible in our profession, divides those also then into consulting expert and testifying expert. But in point of fact, though we call this whole industry expert witness, it's really a misnomer. The fact of the matter is that a, quote, expert witness doesn't do a lot of witnessing. They do a great deal more consulting. Less than 10% of all civil trials make it to court, and if you take divorce out of the equation, less than 2%. So you can see what I mean about it being a misnomer. It's pretty much an expert consultant, which I use that term a great deal. However, when you're referring to the industry, it's still an expert witness. Now, I'll tell you who uses expert consultants. It's primarily attorneys and insurers to do a very number of things, actually. Evaluate claims, review records to determine whether something was done wrong, in this case medical records, to give an attorney an opinion as to whether there really is a meritorious case, and both sides, plaintiff and defense, need that help, possibly write a report explaining their opinion, and then, if the case hasn't yet settled, as most of them do, possibly testify in deposition. After that point, the vast majority of cases will have settled, but those that don't and so go on to trial will most likely require that the expert witness testify into court as to his opinion. Now, as far as who an expert witness does this for, the most physician expert witnesses are used in malpractice cases by medical malpractice attorneys. But some medical specialties will also be used by personal injury attorneys, for instance, an orthopedic surgeon in automobile accident cases.
Mm-hmm. So, I certainly personally know of lots of physicians who've done a little bit of expert witness testifying here and there, or, you know, reviewing cases. My husband does some. But these are not physicians who've sort of made a living out of it. And I'm curious, what is the profile of a typical physician client who decides to specifically earn income as an expert witness and when they're coming to you?
Okay. Largely, Philippa, they're the boomer generation. They're at a time of life where they need to make even more money. They have kids in college. They're building their retirement fund. They're looking toward retirement and see this as a way to kind of taper off in the practice. Now, that being said, though my physician expert consultant client is typically middle-aged, I have some notable exceptions. One medical specialist that I started with a couple of years ago, he is so young he looks like Opie, actually. Makes him very attractive. I'm sure his clients love him. But he wasn't quite 30 when we started working together. So, and he has done very well. You would think, well, he doesn't have enough experience under his belt. Well, apparently there's a lot of attorneys who think so. So he's doing quite well. Another one from several years back, I met and I thought, this young OB-GYN cannot possibly have finished medical school, residency, internship, et cetera, but he had, and he wanted to start into expert witness work at the same time. And so I got him set up, did a website for him, got his name out there, et cetera, and we were pretty much done. Well, about a year ago, for some reason, I wanted to look up his site, perhaps to show it to someone else, and it wasn't there. So I called him. He's an OB-GYN in the Midwest. And as I say, when I started with him, he's in his 20s. And I said, where's your expert witness site? And he said, I've got so much business, I had to take it down.
Wow.
Now, I don't normally hear that kind of language, so I was thrilled out of my mind. But it also told me that you don't have to be old to do this. The good part of it, however, is that it's one situation in our culture where getting older, it doesn't work against you. In fact, one of my other notable exceptions is one of my favorites, actually. A gentleman in the Washington, D.C. area, I became acquainted with him and his wife, so I know more about his personal life. And it will give you the clue that they celebrated last year their 50th wedding anniversary. This doctor is still practicing and is still an active expert witness.
So there are clearly lots of benefits for developing this activity into a business for physicians. What might some of those benefits be?
Well, the first one, I think, is income potential. There definitely is some significant, especially in the really unique specialties. It's mentally challenging. Daily work can get a little routine feeling for anybody, even doctors. And every case that they work on is a little different. It's a change of pace. Doing something different is a little refreshing. I actually have several of these. Another is that it kind of, I'll take it from the negative. I hear a kind of a growing discontent in regard to unfulfilled expectations of medical practices. I know that you do as well.
Yes.
Both in income and joy. And that comes from insurance rules, the economy, malpractice insurance rates, public perception ad infinitum. One doctor told me that in the number of minutes the insurance dictators say he should have treated a patient, he said, I haven't even finished hearing the patient's complaints. So it gives a little rest from that. Another is to give something back to the system. Some experts feel strongly about helping stop egregious offenders in their field, and then on the other side also to help protect those maybe who have been falsely accused. Another is that it keeps them actively learning, staying up to date in their field with literature searches while somebody else is paying them to do it. So that part's a real plus. Then on a more amusing note, I think it sometimes gives a testosterone high when you talk about testifying. We live in a rather civilized society, and I have said I think the adversarial situation in court gives men and even some women an opportunity to do battle, to fight in our civilized society. When I brought that up to a few clients, I kind of feel them grin over the phone as they acknowledge I'm right.
And, you know, it also strikes me that one of the big attractions I have to my own career is that I have a young child, and it's wonderful to be able to build a business from home. And I could imagine for certain female physicians, it might be a very attractive way to not have to spend quite so much time in the office and to be able to do some work from home, because this is obviously a very portable way to do business.
Yes, I particularly had doctors tell me that they do their file review at night at
yes.
home
mm-hmm.
to be away from the office.
So what are the requirements for a physician to become an expert witness? Because you mentioned that there's law around this.
Sure. Well, obviously, education and training is the first, and those are pretty much basic. In the medical profession, board certified is also pretty much required. Preferably, but not necessarily, some altitude in a particular specialty would be of particular help. Mostly, they still need to be in active practice. There are some exceptions where they can just do medical file review work. Another exception is a doctor who may have been in practice at the time of the incident he's called about and did the same kind of procedure at that time. I once had the unfortunate job of informing a young doctor who had a degenerative disease and was going to have to quit operating that as an actual expert witness, he had an expected career life of only about 5 years. So that was a little depressing, but he needed to have the facts because he couldn't, like, be done with his medical practice and then go on and be a full-time expert witness. He can do file review work indefinitely, but not testify. That, to some degree, there are some ways to kind of get around it. I have one doctor client who doesn't have a regular practice anymore but volunteers at the local VA hospital in order to still be treating patients so he can do expert witness work. Now, some states have percentage rules about how much clinical work versus how much legal work the expert does if the issue is standard of care or negligence instead of causation, and I'm sure you can see why that would work.
Mm-hmm.
To still be practicing. Some more things that work well for them is if they have an analytical mind, an investigative bent, kind of the what happened here type of thinking. And, of course, as a doctor, you tend to have that anyway. You're looking for, you know, what happened here. Writing skill for report writing is a good thing, though that can be developed. We have tools to help people who don't basically have that skill. Teaching experience looks good on an expert CV. The attorneys want a testifying expert to be able to explain complex matters. Well, if the doctor hasn't formally taught medical school or university classes or seminars or conferences, I get down to inquiring about hospital department workshops, presentations to nurses, that sort of thing, and add them to
mm-hmm.
the
team. Even perhaps having residents or medical students round with them in the offices.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
exactly. And then probably last but not least, even if they have effective communication skills and they're poised, et cetera, but to be willing to learn new skills. A good illustration is I had two doctors last year who basically said to me, well, as we first met, well, I've been doing this about 30 years. You know, I've seen most of it. I figure I can just go down there and tell them, you know, what I think, and it'll be okay. I was like, oh, dear, sit down. Let's talk. You must learn a little about the courts and trial system. We have plenty of learning aids, but you must learn how to protect yourself. Philippa, I try to create a little healthy paranoia because the other side is truly out to get you.
Well, that's their job.
Yes, that is the game,
mm-hmm.
as our legal system was set up in an adversarial model. But that's just learning a new skill, and let's face it, you know, we've had to learn new skills all along.
And I think that this is very suitable for most physicians because one of the things that I've encountered in all the physicians I've worked with, and maybe they self-select, but, you know, they genuinely do have a love of learning and they do have a love of feeling like they're making a contribution.
Oh, yes, high literacy skills, absolutely, and high intelligence, absolutely. Does definitely make my job easier.
So where do you begin? A client calls you up, a physician client calls you up and decides to engage you. Where do you begin with them when you start working together?
Okay. My first work with them is to edit and bulletproof, and that word means to try to insulate them against cross-examination that could trip them up, to edit and bulletproof their CV or resume. We call it a CV in this industry, curriculum vitae. It's no big deal what you call it. And any other documents that the attorney sees, whether that's written materials or a website, anything like that. And on the CV, we do it just a little differently from the academic model, but I take what they've got and shape it up a little bit. But mainly I'm looking for trouble spots. And then I work on their engagement materials to make sure they get paid. That's a big issue. I compare them to their competition or perceived competition. There's enough work out there that I rarely worry about competition for my clients. And I evaluate their fee structure. Believe it or not, they tend to undervalue themselves in most cases. I nearly always raise the fees. And then I recommend how their legal practice should be promoted, whether they need a website or not, whether they need to advertise or not, and if so, where, explore speaking or writing with them, various ways of promoting.
Marketing.
Letting their prospects know they're available and qualified.
And what are some of the biggest obstacles that physicians come across to succeeding in business as an expert witness?
To be honest, I haven't really seen too many actually what you'd call obstacles. There are some matters to address, so it's a little milder than that, fortunately. Doing an expert witness practice is not really a business in the sense of many of the businesses that you help doctors set up. It's a part-time opportunity that can be set up quickly, actually. But there are issues that need to be addressed, like different kind of errors and omissions insurance than what they've got, probably, that sort of thing. But since it is a solo consulting practice, there are less startup costs. For instance, an individual doesn't need a brochure. His CV is his brochure. Another matter to address is to be realistic about the need to publicize. When I first started this several years ago, especially older doctors thought they could just make the decision to do it, hang out their shingle, and the world would be the path to their door. Well, you know that for beginning medical doctors' clinical practices now, that doesn't work anymore.
Correct.
It may have worked when their fathers opened a medical practice, but not anymore.
No, absolutely. And, in fact, that's one of the areas that I spend an enormous amount of time with my clients is on, you know, how are you going to attract attention, get people interested, get them to the point that they desire to use your services, and then actually get them to take action.
Absolutely. And they may need a website. It's a small website. They may not need it in the beginning. I got a doctor started this week with other marketing steps, and we plan to create his website in 6 months to a year after he's made some money. One more point about that is that I sometimes encounter in doctors a bit of naivete about money, interestingly enough. In their practices, they don't generally have to work with it. They have other people who do it. And so you might note what I said a while ago about one of the first things that I do is work on their engagement documents. I want to make sure that they get paid. So one of the things that they can find out about, I'm sure you're going to cover this in just a minute, but on my website there is an article, a pretty long dialogue between me and a CPA in Houston about the issue of expert witnesses getting paid. That's good free information, and I suggest they take a look at it.
Well, that is a good question. If anybody wanted to learn more about you and your services, how could they do so, and what might be some ways for them to get a feel for the work that you do, some of the resources that you might offer?
Sure. My website is www.expertcommunications.com. My daughter works with me, Meredith, and we make a great deal of information available there free for experts to both evaluate whether they even want to do this and then to gain information on, we'll say, moving up to the next level. The other valuable thing they can do is sign up for our free email newsletter. It goes out at least once a month, and it's pretty highly regarded as the best information in the industry for getting tips on marketing, on protecting yourself in deposition and cross-examination, all the various factors about this industry.
And then there's obviously your book. What? Let's just talk a second about your book. What motivated you to write the book? What was the need that you sensed out there, and how could physicians make best use of the material in your book?
Well, when I first got into this, there really wasn't anything out there, and I wanted to put out a basic template. That's what the book is. It's kind of an outline. If somebody wanted to do their own work in setting up their practice, the book would help them do it. They can do it with that. What I do in my consulting practice is when the expert does not want to do all of the work, which is typical of doctors, actually. In fact, you might be interested to know, that's kind of what got me into the business. I was speaking at expert witness conferences and while working for someone else, and at least two doctors at one conference said, you know, I appreciate your educating me about this marketing and advertising, but I really don't want to do it. Why don't you do it for me? And I thought, why don't I?
What a great idea. So do you have any parting words of advice for physicians who might be contemplating this as a career? Or let's say it's a career addition.
I would say just check it out. It's like any other professional practice or business, it's a business, and it deserves a study, a feasibility study. I would suggest that they investigate, I'll say the pros and cons, though there aren't too many cons. It's just to get a bigger picture of it, and then give me a call.
Do your homework and call Rosalie.
Absolutely.
All right, Rosalie, well, thank you so much for your time. This has been very insightful for me. It's not an area that I know a whole lot about in terms of formally developing it into a business, and it's clear that you've really established a number one position in this area, which I congratulate you for doing, by the way, because it's really wonderful to be the expert in an area. And I look forward to being able to stay in touch and hopefully direct some business in your direction.
Thank you, Philippa. Thank you for having me. And I must say that Meredith and I feel we have the best clients in the world. We very much enjoy our clients and tend to end up becoming friends with them.
Terrific. Well, thank you.
Thanks again.